Cedric Muhammad.
Oh, hold on. Dawn from Brooklyn is another comment. She says, you didn't know I was here until you played R. Kelly. I was simply enjoying the show and making the decision if this is a program I would like to support. I am above regional beef, Queens versus Brooklyn. And regarding the guy that believes you have to work or play both sides to the middle until you achieve proper balance, this is incorrect. This is like an abuser telling his wife, I will beat you, but I promise I won't hit you in the face. Family, Dawn from Brooklyn is officially a problem. Jeffrey from Winston-Salem, I'm going to read your post, and I must read the rebuttal from Dawn from Brooklyn. For some reason, I agree with both of them. And that's both of them. That's B-O-F, not B-O-T-H. Let me read this article on Tiger Woods. Accenture's latest advertising campaign has a picture of Tiger Woods standing on the edge of a stream, club in hand, looking at his ball perched precariously on a rock. It's what you do next that counts, reads the global management consultancy's strapline. Sponsors of the world's number one golfer have been asking that question every day since last Friday morning when he drove his Cadillac sports utility vehicle into a tree and a fire hydrant outside his Florida home. The media firestorm that followed the incident, resulting in Mr. Woods' statement on Wednesday apologizing to his family for what he called transgressions in his private life, is hardly a narrative sponsors had in mind in return for investing about $100 million a year in the golf superstar. The sponsors will definitely be telling him and his people, you have to stop this now. You have to get up front. You have to become proactive in how you deal with this, says Lisa Uchman, founder and chairman of IEG, the Chicago-based sponsorship consultancy, who estimates Woods' total earnings at about $750 million. But if there is a short-term anxiety among Mr. Woods' commercial backers, publicly, at least they were not letting on. One by one, Nike, EA Sports, Gillette, NetJets, and Gatorade have embraced Mr. Woods and declared that their financial relationship continues. It's not like it's a crisis of hypocrisy, said Ms. Uchman. Sponsors may have so-called morality clauses tied up in their contracts, allowing them to withdraw if the client's moral behavior materially damages their brand reputation. But Ms. Uchman does not envision any of Wood's sponsors exercising them. This man was being paid to appear perfect, as I told Davey D. And when you are being paid to appear perfect, you have no voice, because at the slightest incident, it can be proven, or instance, it can be proven that you're not perfect. So you have no voice. I'll go maybe a little more on that further. I've got a article on MySpace, which I'm not going to read. It's called The Rise and Fall of MySpace. I think next week I'm going to do a segment on Google. Is Google the most influential company in the world? What is the future of media? Free, premium, or freemium? I think we're headed for an era where people are going to have to settle for a mixture of free items and then premium things. Oh, I want to say peace to Princess Ema. Hi, sweetheart. Love you. Think it's that time for me to check out of here. Send in your comments. Let me recap this in the slow motion replay. Oh, yeah. No more to Henry Grimes. Let me hit you with some more musical beds. I do have the hottest beds in the business. R. Kelly. I got to get past that. No R. Kelly. I got an ill playlist. We got a Wyclef and whatever. Let me just do this. Earlier in the show, I will leave you all to think about this over the weekend. Here's a man who has five daughters. I believe that they're subtle. This is not the formula, but this is what I was not going to say to Dawn. But I think it's important because there's a way to teach or reach different people through speaking different languages. And I believe that the literal expression is not mathematical in terms of establishing the truth. You can state the truth and you can repeat the truth, but the way that the truth is established is through sometimes circuitous or indirect means. Now, whether you are using the indirect means out of weakness or strength, I think that's what determines whether it is a righteous, the motivation is what determines whether the strategy or the tactic is righteous or whether it's out of weakness or strength. For instance, I do not believe that black people in our current condition will practice economic solidarity without suffering. I don't believe I could give out a million Jewish phenomenons and I could give out a million of my book. I do not believe that that's how you educate people. If you read my book, you'll see that I have a chapter on suffering in volume 3. That's how people learn. As my mother told me, a hard head makes a soft behind. So that's the reality. Hard head makes a soft behind. So I don't think you can just sit and teach and preach. You have to allow a person to go through negativity. That's the point. Now, here's what Jeff from Winston-Salem says. I'm going to run run over my show. I'm going to do 10 minutes extra. He says, "Peace, Brother Cedric. I will defend your use of dialectics. I have 5 daughters and strongly oppose the abuse of the female. In order to meet those who are insensitive to the plight of the female, you must engage them in this time period where passive and active abuse of the female is tolerated, and engage the two extremes and produce gradual change in ideology until we stand on the principle that no nation can rise no higher than its woman. Toy manufacturers who begin the sexualization of females at an early age must be challenged. R. Kelly himself is a victim of a culture that is against women. When you closely listen to some of his music, though he celebrates the beauty of the woman, but this culture is one that only promotes the body. Honest dialogue on both extremes must be examined." Now, here is the Serena Williams-like response. She was like, "What?" She hit the ball back over the net. She says, "Regarding the guy that believes you have to work or play both sides to the middle until you achieve proper balance, this is incorrect. That is like an abuser telling his wife, 'I will beat you, but I promise I won't hit you in the face.' But I think what Dawn may be missing is what is happening in the mind of the abuser." And there are many women who are victims of abuse listening to my show. When was enough enough? See, there's nothing like suffering and pain to educate you in a way that common sense or preaching or teaching does not. So the point is not so much what the man is doing in abusing the woman. It's when does the woman have enough of a negative experience when she says enough is enough on her own. Very rarely does a woman leave a relationship after one beating. Why? That's the point. So hopefully we can raise the debate another notch about what it is. There's certain verses in the Bible. I just did an interview on a program. It was nationally televised. I just got the DVD and I'll try to share it with you all. But someone asked me, when will America make changes economically? And I quoted the verse, I believe in Hebrews 5, where it says, "Through suffering, he learned obedience. Although a son made perfect, through suffering, he learned obedience, that he may become the source of eternal salvation to all." Now, I think I just mixed about 4 or 5 different translations, but that's what I read. I read about 5 different translations when I read the Bible. So that's my point. My point is, at what point does learning take place? Now, this is the 5 ways that we learn. I've talked about this before, and it's in my book, The Entrepreneurial Secret: conversation, observation, reading, experience, and revelation. The most painful of those is experience. Now, I get that from a book, This Is the One, and I modified it with revelation. Most of us learn through experience because it involves pain. Now, here's my point. If you took all of the good teachers in the world, spiritual, and you took them, those that are teachers and educators, and you had them talk to people, would that be more effective in getting people to change their behavior than it would be in experiencing something negative and painful in their own? You all can answer that for yourself, but I know that what my mother told me is true. A hard head makes a soft behind. You learn more from the soft behind. That's been my experience. All right, that was pretty good stuff. Let me hit you on my way out the door. I'm gonna let everybody, if you want to comment on that, go ahead. I have quotes in chapter 13. I have a chapter on suffering. You all can peep that. Let me give you again some more Wyclef Jean. Hope I'm picking the right thing. This is the track where Minister Farrakhan's playing the violin, but this is not on the new album, okay? So you still had to get the new album from the hut to the projects to the mansion. I just don't want any raw language coming out, but it's an excellent mixtape EP. I highly recommend it. The song with Cyndi Lauper, I certified as street, even though some of you all can't imagine Cyndi Lauper as being street, but from what she said, she was right by Marcy Project. So, but besides that, she's down with professional wrestling, and anyone down with professional wrestling is street. Here's Welcome to the East, and then I'll end out the show the way I normally do. But send in a comment real quick. If you can be concise, I'll read it before I break up out of here.
Just walked in the building.
Big up to the Far East rulers.
Welcome to the East. Woo. Sometimes I ask myself what the violence
is. No, you gon' laugh it. Kalenja, why?
It's too hot on the floor. It's too hot on the floor. It's too hot on the floor.
Judgment yard.
I'm
cursing.
They got the M15. We got the M16.
That's dangerous.
It's too hot on the floor, man. It's too hot on the floor.
Check it out.
Hold on. First time ever in the history of this show, I'm going to put the fire trucks on a picture. That picture of Wyclef, I believe that's his daughter. I'm not sure. That is the hottest picture. Wyclef and the child there. Let me loop that. Man, that's beautiful. Somebody do the knowledge on that picture. Who is that? Now, is the black community strong enough to get this song played on radio? You have black-owned radio and commercial radio, corporate-owned, right? Why wasn't Welcome to the East in the rotation? You don't have the strength to get this played. Why not?
Yeah.
M16. We got the M16.
That's dangerous.
Too high on the floor, man.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Saw the grenade, heard the explosions, y'all. It get worse, y'all. Can't count the hearses that come out the mosques. Church,
check out.
Do unto others as you would have done unto you. Oh, welcome to the devil's penthouse, overlooking hell's view.
Davis from the Philistine with a donkey jawbone.
The same jawbone I used to make microphone. The same microphone I use in New Jerusalem to tell ETMCs they got a phone. Well, I see you in the club, but your eyes full of pain. Your man or wife beat up, find a new man. And for my little sisters in the misery, sweet. You ain't alone in your presence. I pour some liquors for my homies that pass.
Sit back while I'm writing, watch you fade in the paragraph.
Okay, Janine from Hartford, she says, good question, Cedric. I grew up watching since the mid-80s, so I would take Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy, or even David Robinson or Tim Duncan as the greatest front line of all time, but I would keep studying. Who is the greatest front line? Jeff from Winston-Salem has responded to Dawn from Brooklyn. He says, Sister Dawn, I am going to play intellectual Tai Chi with you. I agree. I have worked in mental health, juvenile justice, and now education. In all of these areas, I have seen that the primary focus is on changing minds and thinking. The wonderful thing about the human brain and mind is that it is geared for survival and will fight to preserve itself, right or wrong. It takes skill to approach people and engage them where they are to get them where they want to be. If you totally attack, they will shut down and you cannot approach them. Oh, okay, hold on. Dawn says something. Hey, pardon me. Are you saying we must create an environment that helps to change the abuser, because that was your lead-in, in the mind of the abuser? Oh, no. It's two minds that have to be changed, Dawn. The abusee and the abuser. I think hopefully that answers your question. It's my point with Steven Silbiger. If you want the relationship between blacks and Jews to change, you can't just work on one side. It's the same with men and women. The disrespectful view of women is actually, in my opinion, it's more damaging when it's held by a woman. When a woman devalues herself, that to me is a degree more serious than a male devaluing the female, even though the man is more likely to be the one to do harm. In a physical way or through a political structure. No, you first have to love yourself, whether you're a man or a woman, etc. That's the first knowledge that you have to have. Knowledge for self, knowledge of self, respect for self, love for self. That's how it works. So the devaluation of the female, devastating when it's in the mind of a female. So you have to change both the abuser and the abusee's mentality. But both of them are not equally evil. The abuser is certainly more evil than the abusee, but change will only come when the abusee has had enough. Feel me? Or they have a powerful savior who can kick the butt of the abuser.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Yeah. On guitar. My man David Rose. Yeah. Jerry was on the bass. Yeah. Jerry was on the bass. Sizzler. Brethren for life. Charles the conductor, I see you.
Well, those of you that listen to the show, you know how I like to end. Many of you and us, we don't grow up with a model of a cohesive unit. So whether you were black, whether you Latino, Caribbean, Irish. And I have where is my Irish listener from Dublin, Ireland? Forget his name. He was with us for a while. I hope he's okay. Ireland going through rough economic times. But one of the things I loved about being with Wu-Tang was the energy of the group. It's nothing like the esprit de corps, the fraternity, the sorority. I love being around any group of people with his love, common objective and purpose. And you can feel it. That's why I say go listen to Protect Your Neck. The Klan has not sounded like that since that. It's something, you know, when you're hungry and you're happy to be as part of a group effort and everyone can rely upon the other in a complimentary fashion. Something very beautiful about that. You know, we don't have enough of that in impoverished communities, regardless of color. That's actually what it means to be impoverished in spirit. There's a certain level of energy that you only can get through numbers. Okay. Again, Paul Williams, I'm devastated. No white tea. I'm worried. I think Pavlik would knock out Paul Williams as well. I'm hurt that my Paul Williams supporters. Oh yeah, that is Wyclef with his daughter, the picture that we had up. Look at that, very beautiful. I want to thank Dawn from Brooklyn especially, and the great Jeff from Winston-Salem, as well as Jeff's wife, who dropped a Megatron bomb earlier. Food for thought, all you first time viewers and listeners, I hope you enjoyed the show. It's very eclectic. This is what we like to do, work the brain cells, heart, mind, and soul at the same time. There's a few things I want to actually get into, but I'll leave it alone because I think we'll be here forever. But again, spread the word if you like the program, if you can support it, something you'd like to see more of, spread the word. That's how you do things, make it more popular. Some of you have been dying to hear the James Baldwin piece. I get requests for this all the time. Let me run this real quick on you. James Baldwin, we used to use this as an hourly intro. I may bring it back.
One of the things which most afflicts this country is that white people don't know who they are or where they come from. That's why you think I'm a problem. But I am not the problem. Your history is... And as long as you pretend you don't know your history, you're going to be the prisoner of it. And there's no question you're liberating me, because you can't liberate yourselves. We're in this together. And finally, when white people, quote-unquote white people, talk about progress in relationship to black people, all they are saying and all they can possibly mean by the word progress is how quickly and how thoroughly I become white. I don't want to become white. I want to grow up, and so should you.
One more time from the top.
Thank you. One of the things which most afflicts this country is that white people don't know who they are or where they come from. That's why you think I'm a problem. But I am not the problem. Your history is. And as long as you pretend you don't know your history, you're going to be the prisoner of it. And there's no question you're liberating me, because you can't liberate yourselves. We're in this together. And finally, when white people, quote-unquote white people, talk about progress in relationship to black people, all they are saying and all they can possibly mean by the word progress is how quickly and how thoroughly I become white. I don't want to become white. I want to grow up, and so should you. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. This is how we mosey out. Again, if you want to build with me and you have something thoughtful you want to express, or just, you know, some whack music you want to send and fill up my my box with, saidboogie@gmail. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook. You can YouTube, search me on YouTube. My long form bio video and the commercial for the book is out. Let me know what you think. I hope it inspires you, if not to get my book, but at least to think deeper about your own life. If you were doing a video biography like I just did, what would you want to say? What would you be able to say? Also, spread that commercial that I have just for educational purposes. I'm dead serious about this. Do we show like it's my last? But it's time for more and more people to stand on what we've been talking about. Oh, don't get me started. Had to do it. You all need a lesson in social cohesion. This was a group. They weren't Jewish, they weren't Chinese, they weren't black, they weren't West African, they weren't Indian. It was just the greatest unit in the history of pro wrestling.
Olean, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, James J. Dillon, Nature Boy, Ric Flair. And you know, guys, I was just thinking, how awesome would it be if all four of you were in the ring at the same time? It's sort of an eight-man tag team type of thing, huh?
Well, I tell you what, they'd have to put up some pretty heavy money, because I can't imagine four people getting in the ring against the four horse. I can't imagine eight guys getting in against this. I can't imagine anybody in their right mind getting in against this. But I can't imagine this. I can imagine that sometime during 86, Dusty Rhodes is going to take his tights, all of his wrestling gear, and put it outside the door of one of these buildings around the country with a sign on it that says, "I quit." Rhodes, one way or another, we're going to get rid of you, and it's going to take place this year. Mark on it.
You know, guys, being part of the Four Horsemen, everywhere you go, all over the country, the people say, "The horsemen are coming," and all the women go crazy. But you know, you start talking about the people we've done in. You go talk to Dusty Rhodes and ask him about his leg. You go ask Ronnie Garvin about his hand. You go ask the Road Warriors, who dropped him right on top of their heads and left him laying. And the list goes on. So what four men are capable of getting in the ring with the Four Horsemen? Huh?
You answer. What do you think, Arn? Come
on. Cornette, when these bashes started, I told you, we had the gold to begin with. When the bashes are over, we will continue to have it. Gentlemen, anybody out there watching, we're a unit. The Four Horsemen are not four individuals. And last but not least, I don't want to say I told you so. I don't want to blow our own horn, but toot, toot. toot. We are still recipients and owners of all the trophies. We make it happen in professional wrestling. Tell them, champ.
You see, Jim Cornette, in the case of the Four Horsemen, you have got brains. You have got wealth. You have a tremendous amount of brawn. And ladies, let me assure you, there's not a gelding in the bunch. We are the studs in professional wrestling. We are the men that get it done. And we tell you we're going to be somewhere and we're going to beat somebody up. Then you know what? Put it in the bank, because we'll be there and we're going to beat somebody up. Woo!
To the nature of the great master key, which has been responsible for all the great successes in every calling, in every part of the world. Please listen carefully to what I have to say, because you may discover the secret of the master key in this first visit. You may get your first cue as to the nature of the great master key when I tell you that psychologists have discovered a natural law which is the very foundation of all personal successes. And I can describe it to you in one short sentence so you can understand it. Whatever the mind can conceive and believe, the mind can achieve.